There have been national and international leaders that have overcome all odds, that have won victories when it seemed completely impossible. We're going to learn from them today on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It is one of my goals here on The Line of Fire to instill hope in your hearts, to encourage you, to build your faith, to give you courage. So we will talk about things happening in the society. We will talk about real problems. We will focus on real difficult issues. At the same time, it is always with the attitude that our God is King, that Jesus has risen from the dead and is Lord, that he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world, and that the final outcome of the righteous is blessed. So today on the broadcast, I want to share with you some great audio clips, some quotes from leaders in the past, political leaders, spiritual leaders, who made a massive difference in their generation, a difference that we still feel to this day, to hear what made them tick, to hear what inspired them, so I can share some of this with you to encourage your own hearts, build your own faith, strengthen you as you stand. Before we do that, two other things. Number one, the IRS and the missing emails. Come on. This must be exposed. This must be completely brought into the light. This is absolute nonsense. Nonsense. Now we're hearing that the BlackBerry that had the emails, the Lois Lerner emails, was scrubbed by the IRS after they were informed that the emails were wanted. This is what's being reported. And others have said, of course they're backed up. Of course they're backed up, and they can be found. And then some of the IRS saying, yeah, but that would be too difficult. You got to be kidding me. I expressed incredulity. I expressed my severe skepticism when I heard that the emails were gone, that they had just disappeared, knowing that any major organization is going to have multiple backups of files. It's not just going to be on one computer. And it seemed odd to me that if you owe the IRS money, they haven't lost those emails, and yet these were conspicuously lost. So now let corruption be exposed wherever it's found. Let double standards be exposed wherever they're found, including in the IRS. All right, that's one thing. Second thing, are you ready? I want you to listen carefully and tell me your honest reaction when you hear this. We were talking about positive principles, things that we could grow in, learn from in the ongoing a discussion of the shooting of my namesake, Michael Brown, in Ferguson, Missouri. We were talking about that yesterday. We got some great calls, very constructive, discussion and interaction. If you missed it, go to AskDrBrown.org and click on latest audio. And tonight I should be releasing an article. Al Sharpton was right. Areas where I agreed with Al Sharpton, which I think was a first. So tell me your reaction to this, your honest reaction. I don't know if you heard this story. I'm going to tell it to you in two versions. There was a black Iraq veteran, served in Iraq, went into a Waffle House. There were a bunch of white guys in there who made it clear to him that he was not welcome, and they beat him so severely, he needs brain surgery. What's your reaction when you hear that? Ah, now we'll turn it around. A white Iraqi vet went into a Waffle House to eat, filled with black men and women. The blacks told him he wasn't welcome there, beat him so severely that he has brain damage and needs brain surgery. If you had a profoundly different reaction to one scenario than to the other, or if the one scenario was, yeah, they do that all the time, and then the second scenario is, what, that's a shocker? That's interesting, wouldn't you say? How do we react when we hear it? By the way, this happened to be a white vet who was beat up by black men. But I thought it'd be interesting to put that forward. We'll be right back.
The
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
If we were going into battle, if it was a literal war, we were a little army, we're going into battle, and I said to you, all right, folks, I just want you to know the facts. I've got to be realistic with you. We're hopelessly outmanned. We're hopelessly outarmed. This army that's moving forward is going to crush us. So just, you know, don't be too cowardly when you go down. What kind of leader would that be? What kind of inspiration would that give? It wouldn't even give courage in the face of death, would it? I want to talk to you today about courage, about hope, about strength. Around the country, we're hearing from people who are losing hope. We're hearing from leaders who are throwing in the towel in terms of key social, moral issues. And it is not just premature. It's downright wrong to capitulate. And something that you know is true and right. Michael Brown, welcome to The Line of Fire. And I'm going to share some quotes with you, some audio clips that will stir your heart. And by the way, if you wonder why I did that little exercise giving you the story, the same story with two different versions, I check myself. I ask myself how I would respond if a story was different, how I would respond if the players were different. For example, I'm watching carefully that with Israel's war with Hamas, that when an Israeli child is killed, a four-year-old is killed, that is really shouted to the whole world, look at what Hamas has done. And of course, they're indiscriminate with their rocket attacks, and they're not mourning over this. A dead Israeli, that's good Israeli. That being said, I think it's very important to say, okay, if we're that outraged over a four-year-old dying in Israel, how outraged are we over a four-year-old dying in Gaza? Even if Hamas policies led to that death, how outraged are we? I always feel it's good to challenge myself and to challenge others to think as fairly as possible. So in case you were wondering the purpose of that little exercise, that was the purpose of it. What do you need to hear to keep you going? What do you need to hear? Whatever the battle is, whatever the crisis is, whatever the difficulty is, whatever the challenge is, what do you need to hear that strengthens you, that motivates you, that mobilizes you, that encourages you? What do you need to hear? Is it that there's hope? Is it that there's light at the end of the tunnel? Is it that this too shall pass? Is it that God will ultimately vindicate his people? Is it that the devil's a liar? What do you need to hear that inspires you, that encourages you, that strengthens you, that motivates you? And if there was something you were being called to, that would mobilize you. 866-348-7884. There is a classic quote from Winston Churchill. It is 1941. And you have to understand that the war with the Nazis did not look good. Great Britain suffered greatly during the war. And Nazi power, the growth of the Nazi empire, so to say, seemed unstoppable. Clip number 14, Johnny. Listen to what Winston Churchill said to inspire the nation. And this is one of the most famous quotes from Churchill. Clip number 14. All right. Not sure what happened there. we'll get back to that quote in a moment. In fact, I'll read it to you, and then we'll hear it from Winston Churchill in a little while. And Matt, you can just check on our buddy, see what's up there. Winston Churchill's words, never give in. Never give in. Never, 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 never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in, except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force, Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy. Now, you have to understand, at that point, those words seemed more hope-filled, optimistic than perhaps realistic. But his point was this, and I want to say this to everyone listening. Please hear me today. This is crucially important. There's so many social changes happening that we differ with. There's so many things happening in our society that we differ with. There's so many things we are told, this is inevitable. There's nothing you can do about it. This change is going to come. Just accept it. Pastors are hearing it. Church leaders are hearing it. Others are hearing it. what Churchill said remains absolutely relevant. Here's what's up to you. You cannot necessarily determine the final outcome of what happens in your generation. You cannot necessarily determine the final outcome of what is going to happen in society as a whole. You cannot even determine the final outcome of what's going to happen in your local community or your own block or sometimes your own family, what choices people make. But you can determine that under no circumstances will you compromise, that under no circumstances will you yield to something that you believe is important in God's sight, that you will yield to another conviction rather than the conviction you believe is right. Now look, you run the risk of being stubborn. You run the risk of being small-minded. You run the risk of being bigoted if you say, well, it's my way or the highway. And that's why we have to be humble. That's why we have to be teachable. That's why we have to be open to correction. That's why we must follow the model put forth in Jacob, James, the third chapter. And I just want to read it to you in terms of true wisdom and how it's modeled. He says this, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. What's the point that I'm making? The point I'm making is simply this. I know if I'm being stubborn, I know if I'm being in the flesh, I'm quickly aware of it. And I know when I have a conviction because of God's word and God's truth and God convicting my conscience. If I know that I have a conviction before God, you can do whatever you want to do. You can throw me out of your group. You can kick me off your radio station. You can refuse to distribute my books. You can block me online. You can discredit me. You can dishonor me. You can mock me. You can ridicule me. If I was part of a religious denomination, you put me out. It doesn't matter. I can't move away from what I know is right and true. I can't move away from what is right in God's sight. That is spiritual and moral and ethical suicide to do that. You can throw me in jail. It's not going to matter. Got to do what's right. I'm not anyone special. I believe most of you listening that know the Lord, you share that same value. So I want to encourage you. Nothing will come by carnal compromise. Pastors, leaders, please hear me. Educators, parents, please hear me. Nothing will be gained by carnal compromise. Be true to your conviction. And let's hear this directly from Winston Churchill, clip number 14.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
There he's saying it soberly and clearly in the midst of war. Let me repeat it. Never give in. Oh, please, please. Hear it in the right context. I am constantly trying to give in if there are issues, you know, Nancy and I see things differently. Well, anywhere I can give in, I want to give in. Obviously. And whatever, you know, with other leaders or others, wherever it can lead in, glad to lead in. glad to give in and to say, hey, whatever we can do to make peace. But if there is a conviction, never, never compromise your convictions for the sake of your denomination, for the sake of the church fellowship, for the sake of outward peace, because it will only bring greater turmoil. It will only bring greater problems. It will only bring greater pain. We'll be right back with one of the most stirring quotes from Martin Luther King. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. It's Wednesday. We often focus on moral and cultural issues, focus on the world, Worldview Wednesday. But in the midst of that, focus, I want to bring strength and courage and hope. Look, friends, change is not going to come. Be it change in our own lives if we've got to get in better shape. Be it change in our own lives if we're not disciplined spiritually. Be it change in our lives if we need to repair a long-term broken relationship. Be it change in a congregation that's heading in the wrong direction. All the more change in a nation that's heading in the wrong direction. It's not just going to happen through us passively sitting back and watching God work, because he has called us to be fellow workers. And if we just let things go their natural course, which way are they going to go? They're going to go the way of the world. There is a tide. When we live in this world, there is a tide that is going against us. And we must, just to maintain our position, we must take an active stand. And in order to gain ground, in order to bring about positive change through the gospel, we must swim against the tide and go against the grain. And it will often be costly. Those old enough to remember the civil rights movement and those who might have been right in the midst of it know how costly it was. In fact, Martin Luther King had to address this because it was so costly. It was so difficult. He was preaching and advocating nonviolence, but there were constant violent responses. And some of the civil rights leaders were saying, look, Dr. King, we need to change our policy, not to become violent, but to step back from our nonviolent pushing forward of our agenda, so to say. We need to find less confrontational ways to do it because it's too costly. The stands we're taking are too costly. And Dr. King addressed this. He's 38 years old. It's one of the classic speeches. The video is tremendously powerful to watch. He's speaking in a church building. The building is packed. People standing outside the building as the message is being broadcast through loudspeakers outside on the streets. And this is what Dr. King had to say. All right, Johnny, something's wrong. Can't hear the clip.
You may be 38 years old as I happen to be. And one day, some great opportunity stands before you and calls upon you to stand up for some great principle, some great issue, yes, some great cause. And you refuse to do it because you are afraid. You refuse to do it because you want to live longer. You're afraid that you will lose your job, or you're afraid that you will be criticized, or that you will lose your popularity. Are you afraid that somebody will stab you or shoot at you or bomb your house?
Yes.
And so you refuse to take the stand. Well, you may go on and live until you are 90. But you're just as dead at 38 as you would be at 90. And the cessation of breathing in your life is but the belated announcement of an earlier death of the spirit.
Yeah. Jesus said, if you save your life, you lose it. If you lose your life for my sake and the gospel, you will find it. That is what Martin Luther King said in different words then. If you save your life, you lose it. If you lose your life for my sake and the gospel, you find it. Friend, are you just going to live the rest of your life a slave to human opinion? Are you just going to live the rest of your life a slave to what's popular? Are you just going to live the rest of your life a slave to your own security? Or are you going to find freedom by dying to those things, always with respect to others, always with honor of authority, but saying, I have to do what is right in God's sight, come hell or high water. I have to do what is right in God's sight, regardless of cost or consequence. On a certain level, you really can't be considered a disciple unless you do that. You really can't be considered a disciple unless you have said, God's will, not mine. In a very real sense, you are not following in the footsteps of Jesus if your greatest goal is just to be pragmatic as opposed to be obedient. Friends, I'm encouraging you today with humility before God and humility before man to stand up for what's right. I'm encouraging you, pastors, leaders listening to me, to speak the truth. I didn't say be nasty. I didn't say be obnoxious. I didn't say be contentious. However, if you are serious about following Jesus, it means living out Romans 12. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It means saying, I'm going to do what honors God if people hate me, if they reject me, if my family puts me out, if the church puts me out, I'm going to honor God. I assure you, on the day you stand before him, you'll have his approval. And I assure you, in this world, even with people against you, you'll have his approval. So here's the big question. Would you rather have the whole world for you and God against you, or God for you and the whole world against you? I'm encouraging you to make the right choice. Some of you, just as I'm speaking, I believe, have been wavering on major decisions. You know what's right, but you're thinking, yeah, but I won't get the recommendation for the professor. Yeah, but I won't get that job opportunity. If I tell them I'm sorry, I can't do that thing because it violates my convictions. You want to be blessed by God, or you want to have the temporary smile of man, which is going to be fickle anyway. All right, something very, very practical. A lot of us really want to live for God and work for the Lord and do great things for him, but we struggle in the flesh. We struggle with sexual sin. We struggle with sexual impurity. We struggle with pornography or fornication or adultery or homosexual desires. We have a great six-hour teaching series by Joe Dallas. It's called Reclaiming Godly Sexuality. It's about sexual purity. It's practical. It's scriptural. It's rich. It's direct. You'll be deeply blessed by it. Deeply blessed. To attend the class in person was about $50. To get the CD where we have the 6 hours of teaching that you can listen to on your MP3 player or computer, that's only $25 plus postage. Today, yours for a gift of any size. So help us. Be as generous as you can. But it's yours for your gift of any size. So call now 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Once more, 1-800-278-9978. Or go to our website, AskDrBrown.org, for a special download offer.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. Leaders who lead well instill hope in the hearts of their people. Leaders who lead well strengthen and encourage their people. Otherwise, we can't really lead. That's why a famous quote from Napoleon Bonaparte, whom we know as a military leader more than anything, said, "A leader is a dealer in hope." So where does hope come from? I mean, real hope, genuine hope. Where does hope come from? 866-34-TRUTH. Where does it come from? On the one hand, it can come from experience, right? You have been through this before. You are confident in what the outcome will be, and therefore there is hope. Hey, we've been down this road. We've seen this happen 100 times. We've had 100 good outcomes, so we're confident about the future. So a doctor might do that. A doctor who's an experienced surgeon, maybe a cancer surgeon, may say the type of cancer that we removed and the overall health of the individual and the fact that 6 months later they're cancer-free, based on that, we have great hope for that individual's future. But there must be a greater source of hope when everything around us seems hopeless. There must be a greater source of hope when everything around us tells us that this is going in the wrong direction. Look, I was reading a story online the other day about some gal who's in one of these new shows. Apparently there are a bunch of new shows, reality TV shows with nakedness. And I guess they blot out the naked parts, but it's clear they're naked people. And they can be on, you know, primetime TV or a Sunday afternoon or something like that. It's a real shock. It's a real sign of the degeneracy of our generation, of the sexual anarchy of our generation. And this gal, apparently in one scene, they didn't properly blot out her body parts or blur them out. And she was seen completely naked from the front and was now felt humiliated by that and was suing the TV network. And the whole thing is just from sick to sicker. The fact that the program exists at all, the fact that this is now what's on TV, cable TV, not the Playboy channel, if that's still around, and the fact that now she's suing because she wasn't supposed to show her total nudity, but, you know, parts blurred out, and I understand she expected a certain thing, and come on, this is just, what kind of world are we living in? When you see that, how do you have hope? You say, well, my hope is in the return of Jesus. Of course, that's our hope. That's our ultimate hope. But friends, I want to encourage you that you can find hope in God, that you can find hope in God, because at his throne, there is always hope. At his throne, there is always faith. At his throne, there is always confidence. At his throne, there is always a better way. And always hope for tomorrow. Doesn't it say in Proverbs 4 that the path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining brighter and brighter until full noon day? Isn't that the reality? So, I want to encourage you. Find your hope in the Lord, not in circumstances, not in temporary good news. Find your hope in the Lord as your gaze is on him, as your focus is on him, as you look to him and put your trust in him and meditate on what his word says. Hope, confidence, faith will rise.
The line. Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire. My intention today, it's always there, underlying everything I do, but my intention today, especially to build you up with hope, with courage, to share quotes with you from other leaders to inspire you, to encourage you, because whether you are a parent, whether you are a single person, whether you are a young person in school, whether you are a pastor or a leader, whether you are the head of a business, wherever you stand, you're going to have to make choices. We are in a society today in which the idea of us just remaining neutral and telling people about Jesus is not an option, because we are being faced with moral choices and being confronted to the point that you have to say one thing or the other. You have to stand one way or the other. And the myth that if you're just a nice person, everyone will like you, not if you stand for truth. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to the phones. Ruth in Washington, D.C., thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Well, praise Jesus to you, Dr. Brown, and I just want to say this to encourage your heart, and you have said everything you've said today. I totally agree in the name of Jesus, and I have been inspired, and I was also been, your message brought a confirmation to me. I believe exactly what you are saying, and I just wanted to make a little quick comment on what you were saying about if the, you know, the black men beat the white man.
At the beginning of the show. Yeah. And hang on, just real quick, Ruth, for those that didn't hear that, I said, here's a news report. Tell me how you react. And I said, a black man went into a white Waffle House. It went to a Waffle House. The white clientele there told him, this is no place for a black man. You're not welcome here. He was an Iraqi war vet, and they proceeded to beat him up. And he's now in serious condition, needing brain surgery. How do you react when you hear that? I said, well, let's turn it around and say it was a white Iraqi war vet who went to a Waffle House, and a black clientele told him he wasn't welcome there and beat him to the point that he needs brain surgery. How would you react to that? Now, in this case, it was the latter. It was a white Iraqi war vet that was beat up by black clientele in rural Mississippi. But my reason for asking was to see if we had a different response based on our own background, which is very revealing. And I like to test myself like that. Okay, so back to you, Ruth.
Okay, what I wanted to say, I have been saying this all along, that evil and agape love do not know any color, any race, or any gender. If we have an evil mind, regardless of what race we consider ourselves, we can all act the same way. And if we have agape love, regardless of what race we call ourselves, we're going to act the same way. And then the other thing I wanted to say, it's just so disturbing to me and grievous to me that Christians or professing Christians do not know why, or they pretend they don't know why, this America government or America period is in the zone of unholy laws and all these kind of things. And when they leave Jesus out of the picture, true Christians ought to know that you open the door for only Satan's tricks and evil to come in. And the only way we can keep him out is we have to stand and, like you say, not be afraid to tell the truth in love and rebuke those satanic spirits, evil spirits, and not take part in that compromising our godly principles for this worldly situation. So thank you,
you so much. You are absolutely right, Ruth. Thank you so much. I appreciate the call and the kind words and the clear call to all of us. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Chooks. Wait, Chooks, I know you, don't I, sir?
Yeah, this is Chooks, my brother, in Boston Christian Assembly, Massachusetts.
All right. Can I tell your story real quick to
Please.
Our listeners? Okay. Chooks is on pastoral staff at a church in Boston. Now you went blind as a boy. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
How old were you?
I was about 8 years old.
All right. So and this was in Nigeria?
In Nigeria.
All right. So the others in your, many of the kids died in your village. You felt that you were blessed just to survive. Now that being blind has not held you back. You have a law degree. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I have a 2 law degrees by God's grace. I'm practicing law, and at the same time, I'm a minister. So I set out to combine the 2 professions. They said it couldn't be done, but it's done. It's being done.
And not only that, I heard that when you travel, that you were just dropped off at the airport. You're blind. You're just dropped off at the airport, and you make your way over to ticket counter to your plane. Is that true?
Absolutely. I just returned from a mission trip. I was overseas 1 week in Republic of Benin with African Christian Fellowship, and 2 weeks of mission in Nigeria. I just arrived at New York Airport last week and got back to Boston the weekend. And I am back to base, and I'm glad to be home.
So you, nothing stops you. I remember you being in meetings I was in Boston earlier this year, and I remember your big smile the whole time, and the sharpness and clarity of your thinking and your spiritual perceptions. But nothing's going to stop you, huh?
My brother, if anything would have stopped me, they would have done it before I came to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But since they didn't stop me then, they can't stop me now, because the power that is operating in me is higher than the power that is operating in them. So I said to them, when they say I am blind, they say that I am blind because they are too blind to see my sight.
Amazing. So what would you like to say to our listeners about this topic, about hope and courage and true leadership?
Thank you, sir. Leadership reminds me, the particular, remember you and I talked about how the visually impaired people can follow, can understand the teachings and how they can take notes while you teach. So one of the ways is acronym. I do form topics with acronym, and that helps me to remember the topics. So there is one acronym for leadership, and that has helped me. Even in my overseas trip, we had pastoral training in Republic of Benin. We had 2 days training pastors in the city. And also in Nigeria, we had time talking about leadership, teaching people on leadership. And the one acronym about leadership is what just touched my heart as you were speaking. L is for love. If you don't love the people, you can't lead them. And the E is encouragement. A leader encourages the people, like you mentioned. A is advancing the status of the people. A true leader must seek to advance the status of the people. Don't leave them to where you found them. You must advance their status. And D is you develop the people. You don't diminish them. You develop them. The next E in leader is empowering the people. You empower them. You activate that God-given talent that is in them, which is dormant. You empower them. R is you recognize their ability and their inability. You don't just recognize their ability. You also recognize their inability so you can help them. S, you serve them. You are not to be served. You serve the people. H is you give hope to the people. I is involvement. If you're going to lead the people, you got to involve them. Don't stand aside and seek to lead them, but rather involve them. And of course, P in leadership is you pray for them. The problem we have is that many people try to lead the people they can't pray for. But if you can pray for me, you can successfully lead me. And that is the acronym for leadership.
That's, I was writing quickly as you were speaking, dear brother, to get this down. And thank you for modeling it and being an example. And Let me just ask you this. Can you stick around just another minute on the other side of the break?
Absolutely. I'll be with you as long as you want me, brother.
All right. Stay right here. We come back. I want to ask you a couple of questions. I want to ask you what you say to those who have serious disabilities and difficulties, because some people just look so hard just to get out of bed in the morning, let alone to make a difference. What would you say to them? And then I know you're a Pentecostal charismatic brother. You believe in healing. You haven't been healing. What do you say to those who say, look, I believe God for healing. I've never been healed. I'm disappointed. So we'll be right back with Pastor Chooks from Boston, Massachusetts. So glad to hear from him today.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire. We are talking about hope, about strength, about courage, about leaders imparting hope. We played some clips from Winston Churchill, Martin Luther King, and quoted from Napoleon Bonaparte, who said, "A leader is a dealer in hope." Got a call from a dear brother that I met a few months back, and meeting him made an impression on me. And when he called, I realized it was him. First, it's not a common name. And second, he made a real impression on me. So Pastor Chooks from Boston, thanks for staying with us through the break. So two questions for you. We've got about 5-6 minutes. The first, since you are blind and you've been blind since the age of 8 and it hasn't stopped you, you've gotten 2 law degrees, you're active in ministry, you travel alone around the world. There are many people with serious disabilities that have caved in and lost hope, which is understandable when things just don't change and don't go away and don't get better. What would you say to people like them? You can speak to it much more effectively than I can, sir.
My brother, I thank the Lord that in every disability, there is His ability. And that's what I would like people to know. In every disability, there is His ability. This means there is something that the Lord has ordained in you. There's something He has given to you, and you cannot allow what you do not have to prevent you from using what you do have. And that is one thing we have to say to people. Unfortunately, we hear some people, including ministers that I respect, who say, well, God does not live in broken windows, and God does not, in other words, they're trying to tell us that God could not be involved in your life because you are a person with disability. Mm. And such people do not understand that there is His ability in every disability. And I just came back from a place where we saw some pastors, helped some pastors with His ability. These are pastors either have visual impairment or have other forms of disability, but they are doing great. They're doing great exploits in the kingdom for the Lord. And who can tell these people that the Lord is not using them just because they happen to find themselves with some form of disability? They can ask the Lord about that. What did the Lord say? When they asked Him, did this person sin or did his parents sin in John chapter 9? The Lord said, neither, but that the work of the Lord would be made manifest. There are different situations and different personalities and different platforms, but the truth is, wherever you find yourself, and whatever condition you may have seen yourself, whatever may be the disability, whatever may be the weakness, whatever may be the shortcoming, you can exercise the choice. You can make the choice. Either you see His ability in you, or you focus on the disability. If you focus on the disability, you got a problem. But if you focus on his ability, you think less of the disability, and you are able to advance yourself, and not just yourself, others around you, to see the power of God in you. So in brief language, I will simply say, beloved, let us focus on his ability and think less of the disability.
Yeah, that is so well said. And it speaks to all of us, because every one of us in one way or another in life has some disability where we have to lean only on his ability. And I know this is a long question, or a question that can get a long answer, but we've only got maybe 2 minutes. You're Pentecost, you're charismatic, you believe God heals. Do you still believe he heals, even though you've not been healed of blindness?
Absolutely. I said this, the Lord knows my heart. He knows that I believe in divine healing. We do not believe that people can call themselves healers. It is the Lord that heals, and he alone has the prerogative to determine who he heals, when he heals, and where he heals. And he reserves the prerogative. I said to people, he knows that I believe he can heal me any minute, even as I speak right now. But as long as he lets me remain where and what I am, I will serve him until he thinks or chooses otherwise. I am a vessel in his hand, and he can do with me what pleases him.
Brother, thank you so much for your example, for your inspiring words. And I have not forgotten our conversation about doing my best to get more and more of my materials in audio form, books and other things to serve the blind. So thanks again for the call, for the example. Feel free to call in whenever the subject strikes you, okay?
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time. And may the Lord continue to strengthen you as you continue to be the voice for the people.
God bless you. Thank you so much. All right, that was Pastor Chooks. Only met him once while ministering for a weekend in Boston, Massachusetts earlier this year, from Nigeria, blind pastor, 2 law degrees, and to me, most remarkable of all, gets dropped off at the airport to fly around the world, just gets dropped off at the airport. That's a man who's learned to put his trust in God's ability far more than his disability. And he gave us a leadership acronym for the entire word leadership. First, love. That's L. Then E, encouragement. Then A, advances the status of the people. Then D, develops the people. Then E, empowers people. And R, recognizes both their abilities and their inabilities. Then S, serves people. H, hope, gives hope. I, involves the people. And P, prays for them. What a great, encouraging call from a wonderful brother. All right, Matt, we should capture that. It's a good, edifying call to put online. I think folks will be blessed to listen to the audio. All right, may I encourage you to become part of our team, to become a torchbearer, to become a monthly supporter. All the funds that come in go right where you'd want them to go. The first fruits of your funds go to help our missionaries, planting works, churches, helping the poor and needy around the world. And then funds go to help us with our Jewish outreach, reach the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and go towards this radio broadcast, not just to help us pay the bills, but to expand to more and more cities. You'd be amazed how far your funds go. If you can put aside $1 a day, this doesn't go into my pocket or my staff's, but right into outreach. It comes in and goes right out to touch others. If you can put aside $1 or more a day, $30 or more per month, we'll send you as our first thank you gift, the complete Tree of Life version of the Bible, Messianic Translation. That's a $30 value. Then every month, a new message will be sent to you, and all of the perks will come your way. So call now to stand with us, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, if you're a leader, lead with hope, lead with conviction, lead with courage. Don't compromise. There have been national and international leaders that have overcome all odds, that have won victories when it seemed completely impossible. We're going to learn from them today on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome to The Line of Fire. Today, Michael Brown here with words of encouragement, with words of hope, with words of faith. Winston Churchill said, "For myself, I'm an optimist. There does not seem to be much use in being anything else." Let me give that to you again. He said, "For myself, I'm an optimist. There does not seem to be much use in being anything else." Well, you can be an optimist and not a realist. That doesn't help. Oh, everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be great. On the other hand, if you can be a realist and an optimist, that's the way to overcome. That's the way to bring about change. So on Wednesdays, Worldview Wednesdays, we focus often on moral and cultural issues. And a lot of stuff is very heavy, difficult, hard to hear. But what always blesses me is I hear from so many of you who say, "Since I started listening to the broadcast, I've gotten stronger in my faith. I've become full of hope and courage." In other words, even though we're in a difficult season in world history, and really since the fall of man, it's been a difficult season. Come on, the first son born killed the second son born. That's not exactly a good start for the human race. But what's encouraging to me is to see that as you hear my heart, you end up ultimately with faith in God. You end up ultimately with optimism in God. You end up ultimately with an attitude of an overcomer. So we want to help you with that. Want to encourage you with that. There's a really important story. Someone just sent me the link, and I spotted it before the show today. It's called The Wrong Kind of Christian. It's written by Tish Harrison Warren. Came out today on Christianity Today. And she said, "I thought a winsome faith would win Christians a place at Vanderbilt's table, Vanderbilt University. I was wrong." In other words, just being nice and just showing I'm not radical and I'm not like these other extremists, Christians, fundamentalists. I'm just kind of a, you know, a nice, reasonable Christian that would overcome the biases, against the Christian faith at Vanderbilt, which has a Christian history. And she found out she was wrong. She said, "I thought I was an acceptable kind of evangelical." Ah, she learned something, which is compromise is going to kill you. Oh, I don't mean she thought she was compromising, but I mean that there's no happy medium with those who oppose the gospel, with those who are hostile to the faith of the scriptures, with those who are hostile to the lordship of Jesus. A smile is not going to change their perspective. Being reasonable is not going to change their perspective. The reason I'm going to smile is because I'm a follower of Jesus. The reason I'm going to be reasonable is because I'm a follower of Jesus. But I don't pretend to think that just my smile or being reasonable is going to win over others who are strong critics of the fundamentals of the faith. So I'm going to share some of that article with you. We've got some great audio clips and quotes to share with you. I've got a question. What do you believe is the single greatest moral problem in America today? What do you believe is the single greatest moral problem in America today? 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be getting to your calls, some audio clips, great quotes, and the story from Vanderbilt University. It's really eye-opening. It confirms many things I've felt and believed for a long time. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. What do you feel is the number one moral problem that we are facing in America today? If you had to single it out and say just one thing, what would be the number one moral problem that we are facing today? And I want to remind you that whoever you are, whatever your background, God can use you. Whatever your life experience, God can use you. We just heard the end of last hour from a pastor from Boston who was blind, went blind at the age of 8, considered himself blessed because the other kids in his village, many of them died from the disease that brought him blindness. He's earned 2 law degrees. He's active in ministry. He travels by himself around the world. And he encouraged our listeners. When I asked him, what would he say to those whose disabilities have gotten the better of them, whose disabilities have gotten them to a point where they've caved in? And I'm healthy, but I can't imagine living the way some have lived with such massive difficulties, pain, and other situations that are so debilitating, unable to do so many things they used to do. I can understand people losing hope and caving in. And what he said was, we have to focus on God's ability more than our disability, that with every disability, there is divine ability. And he's saying it as a man who is blind. So I want to remind you that whatever the problems are facing our world, facing our society, they can be overcome in Jesus. And the worst things that come your way can be, rather than stumbling blocks, they can become stepping stones. I want you to hear what Reinhard Bonnke had to say. This is clip number 16. And Reinhard Bonnke is talking about who Jesus called for his mission.
He came down from the mountain and he chose ordinary people. He had the freedom to take anyone, choose ordinary people, the most ordinary people, and turn the most ordinary into the most extraordinary. And in the kingdom of God, the extraordinary is so, so plenteous that it becomes ordinary.
Ah, so God takes ordinary people and uses them in extraordinary ways. God takes ordinary people and empowers them to do impossible things. How do you know God won't use you to bring about change? How do you know? Maybe you're 16 years old and listening to me and you're thinking, man, my high school is so messed up. How do you know God won't use you to bring about change? You say, we got like 1,100 students. Can you touch one? Can you pray for 5? Can you be an example to 10? You really don't know the effect and impact that your life will have. Friends, don't sell the Lord short. It's not about your ability, it's about his ability. It's not about your wisdom, it's about his wisdom. You say, you got a PhD, I don't have a PhD. Listen, God saved me as a heroin-shooting, LSD-using, hippie, rebel, rock drummer at 16 years old. He didn't save me as some great intellect and highly educated world changer. Not that I'm not now, but he didn't save me. He saved me as a lost wretch like everybody else. And Paul says that he works through human vessels so that the excellency of the power may be his, not ours. In other words, that people won't mistake it. They'll recognize this is the work of God. The longer your list of lack of qualifications, the longer your list of why God can't use you, the more in that sense he smiles, says, you're just what I have been looking for. Let's go to Miguel in South Holland, Illinois. Miguel, what do you feel is the single greatest moral problem we're facing in America?
Well, good day, Dr. Brown. It's a pleasure speaking with you. I can't say how much I respect you. And I would say, in answer to that question, it goes back to the way America's irreverence for the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as well as their irreverence towards Jesus Christ. I think when you take the type of attitude that we have evolved into in America in regards to some things I've even read today, in regards to what's put on television, what's given out to our children, how we, as far as Americans, have pushed God out, and as a matter of fact, has made him so, there's such an irreverence for him, despite the fact that, you know, we have the jihadists, and still there is a whether it's fear or whether it's a reverence for the Muslim religion, it's there. But as one article says, when it comes to Christianity, it's anything goes. And I think that when you look at that as being the stem, the root of the problem, even in the earlier times in the Old Covenant, even the enemies of Israel respected the God. There was this passage in Scriptures where they speak of that, and they knew that. So we've drifted away from that, and I think because of that, then anything, as it says, anything goes. Then if I don't have accountability to God and to Christ Jesus,
yeah,
then the door is open to, then what can you say is it's bad? What's wrong?
Right. Those are fundamental issues that are very relevant, and you're right on in saying that, Miguel. Thank you for the call, and thank you for the kind words. I appreciate that. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Henry in Manasquan, New Jersey. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I was thinking truthfulness is something that you don't hear anybody really tell the truth anymore, from the president on down to a used car salesman to a home repair person. What you hear and what they do is totally different. With the president, all about, you know, transparency, the IRS scandal, drawing red lines, health care, Benghazi. You never hear what the truth is. You always got to go to a third and fourth source of information to find out what the real story is. And if everybody from the used car salesman to your teacher to your kids and your parents to all these elected officials would tell the truth, it would take so much guesswork and doubling efforts on things that, you know, it would be a lot better living conditions in this country and in the world. And that's just what I would think. It would be the truthfulness that we've lost.
Yeah, so just lack of truth, lack of truthfulness. And, of course, if there's not a right recognition of God or fear of God, then the need to be truthful becomes very secondary. Yeah, great point. Thank you for it. Let's go to Addison, Texas. Rib, welcome to the Line of Fire. Hello,
yes,
Rib.
I'm sorry, I had you on speaker. Yeah, I'm sorry. Earlier you said something about, well, first of all, I'll answer your question about what's the number one moral problem in the U.S. right now. Is God not in the schools? We took God out of schools. That's probably, if we just put God back in school, I think we would start seeing the blessings that we've been able to enjoy over the last couple of decades. But the other thing is, when you were talking about having a positive attitude and being an optimist and all that kind of thing, I was telling the call screener that another thing you can do is you can expect good things to happen. So that way you're actually making your reality as opposed to, not being a realist.
Got it. Yeah, I appreciate that. And that was a comment on Winston Churchill's quote from myself: I'm an optimist. There does not seem to be much use in being anything else. He was an optimist and a realist at the same time. So having expectancy, that plays in as well. And one more call, Travis in High Point, North Carolina. What do you feel is the single greatest moral problem we're facing in America?
Hey, Dr. Brown. I would have to say idolatry. I remember when I've always thought of myself as a Christian, but when I got serious a couple years ago, I had to knock Bono down a few pegs, and I had to knock Zelda way down, and even politicians that I looked up to, and I still see that as a big problem among Christians who who just don't give any time to the Lord or the Word, you know, they'll talk to you all day about stuff they're passionate about, but it's just weird, you know, to bring up, you know, the Bible or something.
Yeah, hey, listen, if we are not focused on the Word and the things of God, how can we expect the world to be? I mean, if we are the ones that are supposed to be the salt and the light and bringing a consciousness of God and being people who are declaring what the Word says, if we're not doing it, if we're not excited about the Word, living in the Word, what do you expect is going to happen in the world? So you could say that the condition of the church is the greatest moral problem in society today. We come back. I've got some inspirational quotes for you and a great, very insightful story from Vanderbilt University.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire on a day where every day is a day of encouragement, faith, strength, hope, no matter what we're talking about, because that's what's in my heart, and I believe will flow into your heart as you listen regularly. At the same time, it's important that we really get holy injections of hope and courage and strength and faith on a regular basis, because there is opposition, there is difficulty, there is challenge. That's why Jesus, before he was crucified, told his disciples that in this world they would have tribulation, they would have trouble, they would have extreme pressure and difficulty. But he said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So there will be troubles and difficulties, but there is a way to overcome in Jesus. There is a way to overcome in the Lord. All right, before I play a clip from Winston Churchill, I will sometimes suck on a Hall's triple soothing action cough drop. And sometimes there's a bag of cough drops on the table, or if I travel, in case I need them with constant speaking before radio or something like that. But I've never once stopped to read what was on the wrapper. Each one's individually wrapped. I've never stopped to read what was on the wrapper. Why would you? I mean, it's just a wrapper, right? Well, yesterday I happened to unwrap one and was sitting in my car and looked at it. And in each little, there's the Halls logo, and it's like a square standing on its side. Halls, the four Halls walls. And in between, little quotes. You can do it, and you know it. The show must go on, or work. Take charge and mean it. Don't try harder. Do harder. Let's hear your battle cry. March forward. This is... Did you know that was, we should take a picture of that and post it. I was like, what are you talking about? This is a cough drop. But they're obviously saying, don't be a wimp. Go for it. Do it. Maybe there's some background to it. I don't know about it. Some ad campaign. I don't know about it. But I thought that's appropriate. Well, I kept it in the front seat of the car today to bring it to the office with me. And I thought, hey, that ties in with what I'm talking about. Oh, let's go to clip number 15. Winston Churchill, and he had earlier said, 1941, he had said, never give in, never give in, never, 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 nothing great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense, never yield to force, never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy. Listen to what he had to say about the final goal, victory.
We have before us an ordeal of the most grievous kind. We have before us many, many long months of struggle and of suffering. You ask, what is our policy? I will say, it is to wage war by sea, land, and air, with all our might, with all the strength that God can give us, to wage war against a monstrous tyranny never surpassed in the dark and lamentable catalogue of human crime. That is our policy. You ask, what is our aim? They can answer in one word, victory. Victory at all costs. Victory in spite of all terror. Victory however long and hard the road may be. But without victory, there is no survival.
Ah. So this was not just a matter of, well, there's evil that's being fought, the monstrous goals of the Nazis being combated, and we've just got to hold on and hope that they don't destroy us. No, victory. Victory over what is wrong. Victory over what is evil. Victory over what is destructive. Now, I want to make clear that I'm not talking about military battles here. I want to make clear that I'm not talking about a militaristic attitude among believers, except in terms of a spiritual attitude of being soldiers and of being battle ready. But in terms of moral issues, in terms of social issues, we're not fighting against people, and our goal is not to put down people. Our goal is to exalt God's truth. Our goal is to raise up a standard. Our goal is to say to the world, God has a better way. God has a better way than fornication and cohabitation and kids born out of wedlock. God has a better way than drug addiction and alcoholism. And just watch, friends, with the legalization of pot in a couple of states now, and you get now commercialism into it, you get the American capitalist mentality into it, and people looking to make more money off of this, and you are going to watch this go off the charts. That's what I believe with pot and what it leads to, and people get exposed to it and even casualties because of it. We need to say to the world, there is a better way than that. There's a better way than two men or two women coming together in what's called a marriage. There is a better way than abortion. There is a better way than racial conflict. We need to raise the standard. And some of you may be offended that I put one category in the midst of that list, but they are all things contrary to God's will, contrary to God's best, contrary to what is best for society. You say, but it looks hopeless. I mean, we've got certain battles look hopeless. Lots of things look hopeless. Lots of things look hopeless. Dennis Prager made this comment about redefining marriage. I just, a friend sent it to me, and let me find it here. Just give me one second. I didn't print it up. Here we go. Dennis Prager said this in a recent article. On the matter of same-sex marriage, mass passions and coercive judges are winning. Above all, hubris is winning. That is why proponents always assert that they are on, quote, the right side of history. But history is very long. Our grandchildren or their grandchildren will judge whether this is true. The left, since Marx, has asserted that every one of their radical positions, such as the demise of capitalism, is on the right side of history. Virtually none turned out to be. Remember, friends, there was a day when Nero was the great power and Paul was the prisoner being beheaded by the emperor. Well, it's been pointed out that the day came when men named their dogs Nero and their sons Paul. Let us look at the long-term legacy and let us determine to do what is right today. If we do, future generations will bless us. Or if we're the last generation, the Lord will commend us. You say, you know, I really want to be a world changer, but I struggle with sexual sins. Or I got a family member, a friend, they're really struggling. Is there a way to overcome? Is there a way to purity? Yes, and we've got a very practical six-hour teaching series by Joe Dallas. I couldn't think of a better person to teach it on reclaiming godly sexuality. It's only $25 plus postage. Yours today for your gift of any size. Be as generous as you can, but everyone take advantage of this. You can listen to this on your computer or your MP3 player, and you'll find it life-changing and really worthy of your time. Reclaiming Godly Sexuality, your gift of any size, the six-hour teaching series by Joe Dallas. Call 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. I'll give it to you again, 1-800-278-9978. Or you can order a special download at a discounted price by going to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends, welcome. Welcome to the Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown. You want to make a difference, and you're not sure how to make a difference. One thing is you can help get information out. In other words, if you are combating atheism in your college class and you know of great resources online, you may not have all the answers, but you know the answers. Send folks that way. Send folks in that direction. Our website has literally thousands of hours of free material. Our YouTube videos are free to watch, of course. All of the archived radio shows, years of shows, are free to listen to. Articles, I normally write 3 articles every single week, and you can read them online, and we link them on our website. That's all free. Many messages that I've preached through the years, all free. What I'm saying is, if you know that we have information that can help others, you can get it out. Now, here's what made me think about it. I just got a note from a gentleman who would be in the counseling psychology profession as opposed to ministry in terms of a pastor or something like that. He just wrote to me, I just got this during the break. Dr. Brown, my friend, this morning I was in a meeting with several local evangelical pastors who head up a local cooperative interdenominational study faith group representing conservative congregations. We were, of course, talking about homosexuality, and I showed them my copy of your latest book. They were very interested, and I told them I would personally buy a copy for every pastor in their organization that they felt would be receptive to actually reading it or at least looking through the book, and they took me up on the offer. Now he wants to know what discount we can get him. Of course, we'll get it to him at the best possible price. But here's someone saying, okay, I found a resource. This happens to be my book. I'm pleased with that. I found a resource, and I want to make this resource available to others. It's a way that we can be revolutionary. Look at it as holy propaganda. We got a call last week, I believe, last Friday, from a gentleman in Florida, if I'm correct. And he told me that he told all of our listeners that he had been a heavy into gangs, womanizing, immoral guy, and started reading the Bible on his own and was reading it like, just reading it to refute it. But the more he read, the more he came under conviction of his own sin and wept before God and got gloriously born again. There's a Christian group in England, and in response to the atheistic attacks of Richard Dawkins and others, they said, okay, we're going to mass print and distribute copies of the Gospel of Mark. Yeah, we're just going to answer with the gospel. And we're not sending out an intellectual treatise, which has its place. There's a reason why Richard Dawkins will not debate William Lane Craig, and he's been openly criticized for his refusal to do that. In point of fact, intellectual answers have their place and are very important. We are not against it. The mind, we simply say that the mind and the heart and the whole life go together in obedience to God, and that God's ways are ways of truth. But what a great answer to atheism. We'll just give you more of the Bible, because the gospel is the power of God to save, is it not? We come back, along with some clips I want to play for you. I want to share this story, just read it earlier today, from Tish Harrison Warren, called The Wrong Kind of Christian. And she, writing in Christianity Today, she and her husband were involved at Vanderbilt University, leading an InterVarsity Christian Fellowship group. And a few years ago, they got put on probation. Why? Because they said that leaders have to be Christian. Huh?
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends to the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. I asked a question earlier just to get a little feedback, namely, what do you feel is the greatest moral problem facing America today? And I appreciated the comments that came in. If I had to boil it down, it would be the lack of the consciousness of God in our society. Really, everything flows out of that, does it not? When we're God conscious, we walk and live differently. When we're God conscious, our standards are different. Here's an interesting story. A famous Talmudic rabbi is dying, and his disciples want him to bless them. And he blesses them by saying that they would fear God the way they feared man, to paraphrase, which surprised them. I mean, isn't fear of God much more important than fear of man? Why would you want to fear God the way you fear man? And he said this. He said, when a thief is stealing, he knows God sees him, but that doesn't stop him. He thinks, I have to do this so no person sees me. He said, may you fear God the way you fear man and recognize that if God sees, that is more than enough. And in the midst of you doing right, take this word of encouragement from, I believe it's from the heart of the Lord because it's thoroughly scriptural. When nobody sees the stand you took, when no one sees the sacrifice you made, when no one sees the deference that you gave to someone else and let them take the credit, when no one sees those tears shed in private prayer, when no one knows about that fasting, when no one knows about how you gave sacrificially, when no one knows about how you stood for what was right and got ridiculed for it, and no one knows what really happened, God knows. And he who sees what's done in secret will reward you, and he'll reward you openly. Matthew, the 6th chapter, the words of Jesus to encourage you. and when, if you just know, God's pleased with me. God's pleased with me. What else do you really need to know? Let me give you some words of encouragement. Martin Luther King said this, cowardice asks the question, is it safe? Expediency asks the question, is it politic? Meaning, is it politically correct or expedient? Vanity asks the question, is it popular? But conscience asks the question, it is right. And there comes a time when one must take a position that is neither safe nor politic nor popular, but one must take it because it is right. Friends, don't worry about being on the right side of people. Oh, be a peacemaker, be a reconciler, overcome evil with good, overcome hatred with love, by all means. By all means, model wisdom with your humility and your grace towards others, but determine that you are going to please God. Determine that you are going to do what is right regardless of what people think. Determine that you're going to honor the Lord. If it costs you a job, if it costs you a friendship, if it costs you a promotion, if it costs you a scholarship, if it costs you a denominational position or whatever it is, you will be glad when you stand before God that you honored him and did what was right. Margaret Mead, and I'm not quoting all these people as Christian leaders or anything, as I quoted Napoleon Bonaparte earlier. Margaret Mead said, never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, concerned citizens can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has. In other words, it starts with a remnant. Before it spreads to others, it starts with a remnant, and it grows and expands from there. Johnny, get clip number 3 ready. This was C.S. Lewis teaching. We're familiar with his words and writing and not familiar with hearing his voice, but he broadcast regularly on British radio. and his voice was well known to many in his generation. But he's talking about the need for originality. Clip number three.
Even in literature or art, no man who cares about originality will ever be original. It's the man who's only thinking about doing a good job or telling the truth who becomes really original and doesn't notice it. Even in social life, you'll never make a good impression on other people until you stop thinking what sort of impression you make. That principle runs all through life from the top to the bottom. Give up yourself and you'll find your real self.
Ah, isn't that interesting? And here you have one of the most original thinkers in the modern history of Christianity and modern English literature, a man brilliant enough to write Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, children's books that are widely celebrated to this day, and as you know, turned into major motion pictures, and yet brilliant enough to be a lecturer, a critic of English literature, and a genius in what he did. And what does he say? Don't try to be original. Focus on the truth. Look, I want to encourage you today that your life counts, that you're not just another person sitting out there. Can I tell you something? When I get a note from someone, they say, Dr. Brown, I want you to know I pray for you on a daily basis. I can't tell you what that means to me to hear. And everybody can pray. When I hear that, not only does it bring me encouragement, but it reminds me of the responsibility I have to God and to his people and to the world. And it encourages me to run my race with even greater diligence. Paul talked about being helped by people's prayers. Why did Paul ask for prayer all the time? Just because he was a humble guy? No, because he knew that prayer made a difference. Do you know how many worldwide movements have been sparked, national movements have been sparked just by one person of conscience saying, I have to do what's right? One person of conscience standing up, and the last thing in their mind was they're going to launch a national movement. They were just standing up for what was right. And before you know it, history has been changed by them. You know, when Richard Wurmbrand was being tortured in prison and in solitary confinement and put in a death cell where no one survived that because of the disease, people dying of disease and malnourished and sometimes tortured on top of it, and everyone was just put in there to die because of their contagious diseases. And not only does he survive that, he ends up launching a world ministry for the persecuted church, Voice of the Martyrs. And the very prison cell, this is not fictional. Wurmbrand went and saw it himself. I've seen pictures of him standing by the prison cell. The prison cell in which he was held is now used to store Bibles. Or at some time in the recent past, don't know, as of today, was used to store Bibles. Who could imagine that? Johnny, let's play some clips from Corrie ten Boom. Someone else just doing what's right. She and her family were going to do what's right for the Jewish people. She and her family were committed to doing what's right and for saving as many Jews as possible. And what happens? She ends up having an international ministry that speaks to millions and millions. Let's go to clip number four.
I can tell you something that happened in 1844. My grandfather, also a watchmaker, said to his friends, come to my house and let us pray for the Jews and for the peace of Jerusalem. And every week they came together to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the blessing of the Jews. 100 years later, exactly in that same house, grandfather's father, four of his grandchildren, and a great-grandson were arrested because we had saved Jewish people. That was a divine but not to understand answer on prayer for the Jews.
Isn't that something? I want to play a couple more quotes from Corey Ten Boom before we're done today to encourage you. But isn't that amazing? Start it with prayer. Start it with prayer and end it up in actually saving Jewish lives. Ended up in family members losing their lives for saving Jewish lives, ended up being a testimony to the whole world and a testimony to the Jewish people as well. Where'd it start? Prayer. You can do something. Don't be discouraged by what's around you. You can do something. You serve a mighty and powerful God. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. Why do we listen to someone like Corrie Ten Boom? Because she's an overcomer. Because she lost family members standing up for Jewish people and saving them from the Nazis. Because she overcame hatred with love. Dr. King said this. He said, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Hate multiplies hate. Violence multiplies violence. And toughness multiplies toughness. In a descending spiral of destruction, the chain reaction of evil, hate begetting hate, wars producing more wars, must be broken or we shall be plunged into the dark abyss of annihilation. We listen to someone like Corrie Ten Boom because she overcame. Let's listen to clip number 5. She's doing an interview many years ago with Catherine Coleman.
It was dangerous work. And often people said to Father, if you have always Jews in your house, you once will end up in prison. Father was old. But Father said, if I come in prison, I will not stay alive. I'm too old for prison life, but it will be an honor to me to give my life for God's ancient people, the Jews.
Ah, so here's a deep conviction. If it costs me my life, it costs me my life. But I'm going to do what's right. Look, most of us are not going to face this. Shocking news from France, by the way. A poll indicates that 16% of the French population supports ISIS, one of the most barbaric examples of radical Islam known in modern history. 16% of France. That also talks about how many radicalized Muslims are in France. Most of us are not facing that. We're not facing beheading. We're not facing imprisonment or torture. And we think, well, I would stand strong then. Friends, if we don't stand strong in little things, if we don't stand strong in things that don't cost us that much, how are we going to stand strong in the real day of trouble? Come on, let's be realistic. Let's play a couple more quotes. And Corrie Ten Boom talking about her sister, Betsy. This is clip number 6 again in her interview with Catherine Coleman. Let's listen.
I knew there's work to do. Betsy had said it to me. Betsy had said, we must go over the world because we have a message from experience that the light of Jesus Christ is stronger than the deepest darkness, and only those who have been in a concentration camp know what darkness that was. And I could tell what Jesus had been for me, and that you cannot have a compromise with Jesus. You have to surrender all.
Ah. There's a reference to a quote, a theme that became very real and very deep in Corrie Ten Boom's life. And she said this. She said, joy runs deeper than despair. Joy runs deeper than despair. You look outside of yourself and you look to the Lord. And that's where you can find hope, and that's where you can find an answer. Circumstances may be overwhelmingly negative. Your own life, what's going on in your own life may be overwhelmingly negative. What's happening in your place of business, in your congregation, your denomination, your family, your school, your block may be overwhelmingly negative. But joy runs deeper than despair. And that's why Corey also said one of her most famous quotes, there is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. It's like the blind pastor from Boston who called in the first hour who said to other disabled people that in every disability there is an ability, there is a divine ability if we will look to him. Okay, we've got time just for a little bit. What about forgiveness? What about forgiveness? What about when we've been wrong, when we've been hurt? Friends, you give place to bitterness. And we'll have a clip number 7 ready, Johnny. You give place to bitterness. You give place to anger. You give place to hostility. You're going to be trapped. You're going to end up in worse shape. You say, but it's, oh, how can I forgive? That may be the key that frees you to start setting others free. Clip number 7.
One of the great lessons, again, I learned when I was in Munich, and there I met the man who had been so very cruel to my sister. And that man came to me and said, I have found the Lord Jesus as my Savior. And I have a Bible, and I know when I ask forgiveness for my sins that the Lord will forgive me. I know that I had needed forgiveness for terrible cruelties, but then I have prayed, give me the grace that I ask one of my very victims forgiveness. And that's why I come to you. Fräulein ten Boom, will you forgive me? And I must confess you, Catherine, confess you, I felt a bitterness in my heart, almost a hatred, when I remembered how my dying sister had suffered through him. But then I knew, when we do not forgive, the Heavenly Father will not forgive us.
Mm. So what does she do? We've got time to finish this. Let's go right to clip number 8. As Corey Ten Boom talks about this. Let's listen to her last words about forgiveness.
Then I said, Lord, I claim your promise of Romans 5:5. The love of God is shed abroad into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to me, to us. And Lord, that love must overcome now this bitterness. He likes when we really claim his riches. You know, I like so very much to pray with an open Bible and say, Father, you have said it, now you must do it. And God likes it, for he has meant all the promises.
Yeah, God likes it.
He likes when we really claim his riches.
Oh, okay, come on, friends. Step beyond yourself and say, God, if you're calling me to do something, you'll give me the help and the ability. You know, there was a story I was going to tell you from Vanderbilt University I didn't get to, but I'll post it later. If you're on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, I will post it later tonight. But there's a great quote in it that says, not to fear, that the gospel is as unstoppable as it is unacceptable. So we'll post that quote, and we'll post the link to the story. But hear what Corey Ten Boom saying, whatever God's called you to do, there is grace to do it. It's beyond you. We can't change America. We didn't even change ourselves in ourselves, but in God, we are not only overcomers, but world changers. Take hold of it. Be encouraged today, friends, and pray for us. Would you do that? And share this broadcast with others to encourage and strengthen others. And if the Lord's prompting you to join our team to become a monthly torchbearer, go to my website right now, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Go there and become a torchbearer, become a monthly supporter. Just click on donate, and you can stand with us and be part of our world-changing team. My bottom line today, what God has called us to do is utterly impossible. Therefore, let us look beyond ourselves and look to Him, and in Him, we'll find all the grace we need.